One of my main problems with the belief that there is no God is that
that's not what I believe.
Okay. I understand. It's the stand. You take a stand that you don't find enough evidence for God, correct?
Any God, yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Let me just clarify that. With the concept that abiogenesis, that life originated by itself on this planet, I find it flawed. And I'd like to go into that if you're up for it.
So we're not going to actually discuss atheism?
But, you know, that point right there, it gives it away. Okay, you know what? Where would you like to start? Because I would like to start wherever you want. This is not my
life. Tell me why you don't think life could have originated without divine intervention.
Sure. For that, I'd love to go into, like, the root, the first organism. So according to how it goes, a bunch of chemicals, amino acids came together and formed the first organism. But I just don't think that organism would be able to sustain itself if it's the first. And I believe it would quickly die as well. Because that organism wouldn't know how to do, knows a bad word, but I'm just going to continue using it. It wouldn't know how to respirate, digest or reproduce, or do so many other essential things.
No single-celled organism knows how to do anything.
Okay, so did the first organism respirate, yes or no?
Yeah, obviously there was gas exchange. Do you choose to do any of your internal metabolism?
I know what you're saying, because it's genetic, right? We have a load, we have a code of instructions that tells us how to do that, correct?
Yeah, it's all chemistry.
But the first organism wouldn't have that. Because why would it? Because evolution is the change of the process of DNA that changes the way we act and behave and respond to the environment. Why would the first organism have it?
Why would the first organism have DNA? Maybe it didn't have DNA. Maybe it only had RNA.
Okay, but why would it respirate?
Why would it respirate? Are you asking me what reason would it respirate? Or, like, biochemically speaking, why is respiration something that all life does?
Look, the first organism, since there's no genetic background telling it what to do, it wouldn't have the need to respirate or respire. Why would it find the need
to respire? Sure, maybe it doesn't need to. Maybe the first thing that we would be considered alive didn't respirate.
But according to definition, every living creature on this earth respires.
Yeah. Does that mean that they have always respired? Maybe. Maybe not. At one point, no life lived on land, but today life does live on land. That's kind of a reverse case, but...
Okay. But the first organism and respirate, let's go back to that. Why would it find the need to respire? I'm just looking for answers. I'm not trying to test you. It's just, you know, if I find these answers to these questions, maybe I'd become an atheist. And
you don't have to be an atheist.
So I'm not trying to prove you wrong.
A lot of people believe.
But I'm really curious. So
you don't have to be an atheist. I'm not an atheist evangelist. I try to promote scientific knowledge. Because you can believe in both or whatever. So, what question do you actually want me to try to answer? Why would the first organism respire?
Yeah.
So the way I understand it is oxygen is, how do I want to say this? Oxygen is extremely good at what we call reducing, which is to like accept electrons. I believe that's what you call that, or oxidation. It's kind of the same thing. Oxygen can carry a lot of energy. And so it's always useful as that atom or molecule or whatever is very useful for coming in and completing that metabolic pathway. I wish Simon were here. He can probably explain this in terms that sound a lot more fluent than what I'm saying. But if you like look at these metabolic pathways like a Krebs cycle or whatever, I don't know very much about the whatever the chemosynthetic cycle that uses like sulfur trioxide or whatever those things that hydrothermal vents use or whatever. But oxygen's that final electron acceptor, these high these energy carrier molecules are used to somehow it's energized. It's either through photosynthesis or through chemical potential energy or whatever. And those electron carriers use that borrowed energy to accomplish some task, some like usually anabolic and catabolic tasks, like to build carbohydrates or whatever. And then oxygen is used at the end to accept those electrons, and then it combines with some other materials to create waste, like usually in the form of CO2. Assuming I'm getting my biochemistry correct, that's a crummy explanation for why oxygen is used in that case.
But for that to happen, there needs to be a process. Like an organ, for example, we have lungs to take care of that.
Bacteria do it and they don't have lungs. You just need a membrane and a chemical
but
pathway.
But yeah, you need a system to do that, correct?
Yeah.
Was the first organism born with that system just coincidentally? Like I really don't understand.
No, because you're imagining that the first living thing formed whole cloth with huge numbers of interacting parts. Whereas the moment before that, none of those parts existed together, and evolution is gradual, and abiogenesis isn't exactly evolution, but we can call it chemical evolution. And it would have, however it happened, it would have gradually vamped up to that point. So a lot of, like, if you want to read a book that'll be profoundly confusing, you can read Transformer by Nick Lane, I think. He argues, and it makes really good sense in his book, I'll do the best I can, that we tend to think that genes control the expression of like our metabolism and they shape it. And so you have to have genes and then a metabolism. But he says, no, it was probably the other way around. What you need is a metabolism because, for example, like the Krebs cycle, which occurs in basically all cells, which is our way of extracting energy out of carbohydrate molecules, right? Something like the Krebs cycle can be found in nature apart from living things. And you can even find and create autocatalytic versions of that that keep perpetuating themselves, not indefinitely, like life so far has been doing, but it's the same kind of basic thing. So he says that these metabolic processes, which can... they can keep themselves going, so to speak, but then the energy that they create, the leftover energy that they create, can be used to induce other chemical transformations, which is exactly what happens in our cells. So those metabolic reactions probably built the first hereditary molecules, whatever it was, DNA or RNA. It probably wasn't something different than that, although I don't really know what the amyloid world hypothesis idea really purports or whatever, but you get these things in piecemeal rather than in whole cloth instantaneously. And I can't give you a super sophisticated answer. I can only give you what I call like low resolution answers, but I find no logical problems with these so-called low resolution answers. And if we just throw up our hands and say, well, the secular scientists, they haven't figured it out, therefore God. Well, that is the end of any critical thought. I mean, we should give up and do no scientific research along these lines, because apparently we have the answer. And the answer is a magical being whose workings could not possibly be understood. So then we just stop thinking, and I don't want to live in that world.
Uh-huh. Thank you for clarifying. But you know, that was one of my main issues, and it's not just respiration. I just find the whole concept hard to understand, and I'm not using this as an excuse for
a type of
explanation. But I'm just saying that, you know, the first organism to coincidentally be formed with the ability to respire or the ability to digest as well, or to reproduce. They like to be formed with all those processes and have the ability to carry out all those processes. It's just a little bit too much for me.
Yeah, I agree that it sounds that way. Is he coming back? Okay. I agree that it does sound overbearing and like too good to be true or something like that. But you're kind of still couching it as the whole thing has to emerge with all of the working parts as we currently understand them to be in place. But no, it would have happened gradually. Everything we know about life can be boiled down to simple basic chemistry. And I don't see any problem with the idea of much simpler chemical systems gradually increasing in their complexity and sort of adding parts. Again, if you have a metabolism, you can, or if you have like some sort of metabolic reaction that can create excess energy and can therefore induce other chemical changes, then you can start to build a system, and eventually those systems become living cells. The first living thing might not have been a cell. It might have been something a little bit different.
Well, thank you for that input. But for it to gradually change over time, here's my issue. And I just want to clarify that I'm still trying to learn it. I don't have all the answers in the world, and I'm not trying to prove like a difficult point. But what I have come to understand is that you need three things to be able to survive. Going back to the first organism, you need to respire, you need to digest, or a form of digestion, you need energy consumption, and you need the ability to reproduce. If it doesn't have one of them, that organism would die out almost immediately. So I wouldn't find the explanation compelling that it would evolve over time to the ability to produce that system. I would just think that it would die almost immediately. I just don't find it compelling. I don't think there's a reasonable explanation for why that wouldn't happen. If the first organism somehow knew how to respirate and have the process for respiration by miracle, it still wouldn't know how to reproduce. I hate saying the word no, but it wouldn't know how to reproduce. So it would die.
And well, just say it wouldn't have the ability to reproduce. But again, yeah. these metabolic reactions that sustain life, such as the Krebs cycle, we find Krebs cycle precursors. I don't know if we've ever found like the full-blown, like the almost identical Krebs cycle in nature. We've found things that are very close to it. But because what that chemical system does is it's autocatalytic, that means that it actually keeps producing the same, it acts like an enzyme for itself. So it continues producing molecules that can start the process over again. And so it just keeps going over and over and over again. It's like an extremely nano, you know, those little, have you ever seen those tiny little aquariums that are like in sealed glass and they have like little shrimp in them?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It's like a nanoscale of that. There's nothing going into it. It keeps the whole system keeps it doesn't need any resources from the outside or anything like that. But that's actually not true, because here's the other thing. Even that little aquarium only works if there's sunlight, right? A constant input of energy. And for origin of life, the leading candidate, as far as most people are concerned, is probably hydrothermal vents, because it provides a constant stream of mineral resources, raw ingredients, heat, and other forms of energy. Well, it's really just the heat, I guess. And then the chemical environment, like you get strong, how do I want to say this? You get strong, not gradations, but like you'll get a highly basic and then a highly acidic environment right next to each other. For reasons that I don't know, that's kind of a necessary component in getting these reactions to be sustainable or whatever. So the environment is helps keep that system going, and then that system just because all life, no matter what it is, requires a constant influx of material and energy and resources in order to keep going. But anyways, so it could have reproduced through all of that, I guess. I don't want to keep rambling. Hopefully you kind of see what I mean.
I'm sorry to, you know, repeat the topic many times, but I hope you understood my, like, concern there that, you know, if even one of these, like, processes are lacking, I don't think the organism could survive very well. And that's basically what I was trying to get at, because...
Yeah, I feel like you're kind of saying the organism needs to be able to do it on its own, but for origin of life, that's not how it would have worked, but that's also not how it works for life today. I mean, this... We think of life as being like this enclosed thing that, like, its internal metabolism does all the work to divide cells and to do reproduction or whatever, but that's not possible without a constant stream of matter and energy from the environment.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. And I agree with you. Okay, here's another topic that I've had, you know, trouble understanding. And, you know, thank you for taking the time out to have me on and explain these things to me. But with the concept of the Big Bang, I want to go into the Big Bang now. You know, some things don't really line up with each other. And I'll give you an example. I understand that we don't know if the universe is a closed system or open system or whatnot. But I find this argument very, you know, contradicting. One of the most famous laws of thermodynamics is that energy cannot be created or destroyed, but could be transformed. And I believe that to be true. But when I observe the universe expanding faster and faster with an unheard of amount of energy, because it's being accelerated at millions of miles per hour, and it's completely incomprehensible. And I just find that completely impossible, because how can a limited amount of energy fuel an expansion, not even an expansion that's going millions of miles per hour in all directions and at incredible speeds? There needs to be like a fuel source in there, because what's propelling the expansion?
So I'm not super qualified to give you a great answer to this, but from what I have, the way I understand it is physicists think that like dark energy, which is the thing that's causing the acceleration of the universe to, well, the expansion of the universe to accelerate, rather. They think that that's just a property of space-time. And these people are far more intelligent than I am, and they obviously understand the physics and everything behind it to a degree that I don't. But that's one of the things that they say. But even if the universe is open, that doesn't, I mean, that would be really fascinating. That would be interesting. We'd have huge amounts of work to do to figure out what that means and what's doing it. But in no way does that point to like God or anything like that. These are just new phenomena.
Mm-hmm. But to my knowledge, I don't think we've discovered dark energy yet. And I know the people at CERN are working very hard to, you know, provide us some answers. But so far, I don't want to say the theory is incomplete, because obviously it's not. We just need more time to develop some answers. And I don't want to use this as God of the gaps, obviously, but why I'm particularly not atheist is because we don't have these answers yet. And I don't want to pass on, because eventually I'm going to pass away. I don't want to pass away not knowing all the answers, which sounds pretty weird and pretty, like, I don't want to say greedy, but it sounds like I don't want to die not knowing everything.
Yeah, that would be deeply unsatisfying. The only thing about death that bothers me, and it actually really bugs the shit out of me, is that if there's no like afterlife or whatever, then when I'm dead, I won't even know that I'm dead, and I won't even know that I ever was alive. And that's not any different than nothing ever having existed, mm-hmm. Which is totally fucked up. But, what else? So like you were talking about like laws or whatever, like matter and energy can't be created or destroyed, so on and so forth. One thing to keep in mind about laws is they actually are just approximations. Like a lot of people, and even people like on my side, I typically don't say this, but sometimes we're guilty of saying things like, well, laws are just observed facts. And that's true, but they're not like immutable and they're not always facts or whatever. I think it's called Hooke's Law. It's about springs and the way they work, like the relationship between how much you stretch it and how much tension there is and how much strength there is in it or whatever. But that only works for springs that are, I don't remember, it's either like really short and fat or whatever. If you pull them too far, it breaks down. The ideal gas law. No actual gas behaves like an ideal gas. We can get really close. It's a very good approximation. It can be used to make predictions for experiments. And it's extremely useful, but it's not like this immutable, always whatever thing. So matter and energy not being able to be created or destroyed. Yeah, that's sort of the, and the law of entropy. Those are two things where it's like, yeah, these really, like, we don't find any exceptions to them, but maybe they're kind of are. Or maybe the laws that were operating at the initial points in the initial conditions of the Big Bang were different. Or maybe we have a grand unifying theory of everything where, I don't know if what that's supposed to mean is all the laws were combined into one like super law or something like that, but yeah, anyways, the hunt continues.
Okay, here's the, thank you for sharing that. But with the debate that if it's an open or closed environment, I think it's to believe that it's closed. I'm not qualified to answer this, of course, and I just want to humble myself. But if we observe energy, and one of our laws that if it is in a closed environment is that energy cannot be created, yet we observe it, I think it's not fully reasonable to conclude, but it hints that it's not a closed environment. I don't want to say it contradicts itself, but it kind of points to a little differential, like along those lines. So if the universe is an open system, I kind of want to say it points to an external influence or an external force. I'm not saying God,
but it definitely does. Yeah.
So that's one of my thought processes there. That's why, you know, I believe that there's an external force, you know, affecting this whole realm of the universe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but you can be an atheist and think that, so.
Okay, but what would be an atheistic perspective on that? Like, how would you assess that from your
standpoint? I just reject the idea that there are such things as atheist worldviews or atheist perspectives. Because atheism is just what we call when you don't do something, right? So you could be a naturalist, or you could be an atomist or a materialist or whatever. You could be a material girl. Those are worldviews, but atheism isn't really, so.
So if it wasn't open, you know, I'm not asking for an atheistic perspective anymore, but like, what could you assume that it might be?
I have no idea. I don't get paid enough to think of that. But I guess if you'd want to call, just going backwards for a second, the best word to use instead of atheist is secularist, I guess, because that would just mean a cause other than God. But I mean, you could technically think that God exists and still have secular ideas, I think. Like I could believe in God, but think that we should have a secular country, right? We shouldn't be beholden to religious laws, for example. Or you could be somebody that believes in a God, but think that all scientific explanations are secular in nature, in that none of it comes from God. We don't need God to explain anything we see around us. So,
well, yeah, that's basically what I was looking at the whole time. Like, I understand that, you know, this could be a big possibility. Maybe everything just came about by itself. But for the time being, and I don't want to use Pascal's wager here. Like, I don't want to. But for the time being, I really don't have the answers sufficient that I would like. Just like you don't have the answers that points for there being a God. Same way goes for atheism. I don't really find enough evidence being compelling. And I don't think we're going to figure it out in my lifetime. So I put myself in a position where I want to research other religions and I want to research to find which one's logical. And I found Christianity to be the best one.
The most logical?
I would say that. Because there's some things like, okay, I'll give you an example. I could go one religion at a time, but to start with Buddhism or Buddhists, they believe in reincarnation.
Buddhism. And, that's funny. Know,
sorry. That was my fault. But they believe in reincarnation. I simply don't think that's like physically possible without, you know, a process or an afterlife. Because Buddha's not considered a god. It's considered just a figure. And so they're basically saying without any afterworld process, we naturally reincarnate, which it's just absurd.
Why? Well, let me ask you a slightly different question. Why is that more absurd than walking on water?
Well, because Buddhist himself, he represents a figure in that, you know, belief. And Jesus, we believe him to be the Son of God, an all-powerful being. So him being able to walk on water is more reasonable than just a figure, like a being, being able to, you know, establish reincarnation.
Well, yeah, but they believe in some sort of supernatural magic force that is outside of nature that allows for reincarnation to happen. You believe in some sort of force like that, and you believe that God and Jesus possess that force.
Yeah, I that's right. I believe they possess that force. I don't believe, to my knowledge of, you know, Buddhists, I don't know what fully they believe, but in my knowledge, they just, Buddha, just like not really a messenger to spread, but like just there. And there's something else controlling the whole process of an afterlife and reincarnation, but it doesn't specify who. So that's why I find it difficult to believe that their argumentation and their reasoning is reasonable, if that makes sense. Again, I'm not really well educated, you know, their religion, but from what I know, that's the best answer I could give you.
Okay, sure. I got some other people that are waiting, but we did like 30 minutes there, so I'll probably let you go for now.
I don't want to keep you waiting. I don't want to keep you waiting, but thank you so much, sir, for having me on. You answered a lot of questions. You educated me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.